So what do you think that'd be like to have the molecule created and have the spiritual hierarchy actually have access to it? So Dol Kul could wind up having access to Rain's mind to check her out. What will he find there, Rain?
Well, he's not coming yet. So we have some lower stuff to let go of first.
Oh, you're not ready, huh?
I'm not. No, not yet.
You're well, one thing he says is all the members of the hierarchy have power to heal. So that power could be disseminated or distributed to members of the molecule. And I think one of the things all of us would like to have would be the power to heal.
Yeah, I really liked, oh, Scott had this vision where he saw the molecule created and he saw Adam and Marnie going into this children's hospital and healing them all. And that would tickle me pink if that happened. That would be really interesting to see what the press would say about it the next day. Probably say a couple ne'er-do-wells invaded the hospital and created a ruckus.
No, they wouldn't get credit.
The way the media distorts everything, who knows how they would handle that.
That's right. You put a hospital out of business, you're going to be in trouble.
If we're a hoodie.
Sunglasses and baseball cap. Can't see me.
Okay, we're going to talk about levels of hierarchy. And the first level of existence that we know about is the mineral kingdom. But Madame Blavatsky said that there was an existence of substance even before the mineral. She said this: there are processes of evolution which precede the mineral kingdom, and thus a wave of evolution. Indeed, several waves of evolution precede the mineral wave in its progress around the spheres. Well, you know, the scriptures tell us that before everything was created in the physical, it was created in the spiritual, and that's kind of what she's saying, that there was a creation before the most dense substance on the earth, which we call the mineral. But from our standpoint, the mineral is the lowest. DK says this: from the standpoint of external matter, the mineral kingdom marks the densest expression of life and substance, and its outstanding, though often unrealized characteristic, is imprisoned or unexpressed power. Speaking in symbols, a volcano is in eruption a mild expression of its power. Well, this was written before the atomic bomb went off, and we didn't realize the power that was in the mineral kingdom until we exploded the atomic bomb. And you know, the atomic bomb looks a little bit like a volcano going off. And he says, a volcano going off is a symbol of the power that's held in the mineral kingdom. Tremendous power is held there. And people didn't realize how true this was till we released atomic energy. And the thing about the bomb itself, the bomb that exploded on Hiroshima, released the energy of matter in about a couple pennies, you know, a couple copper pennies. Or zinc, I guess they are now. But just a couple pennies worth of matter was transferred into pure energy to create that explosion in Hiroshima. And that just gives you an idea of how much energy is in matter. It's a tremendous amount of energy in just a tiny amount of matter. Just imagine how much explosion would create out of this glass of water were transmitted into pure energy. It would blow away the whole state of Idaho, pretty much.
Yeah, so. He says every, you know, 93 natural elements, he says each of these elements could release atomic energy as well if we knew how to harness it.
Yeah, yeah. And So anyway, what powers the Enterprise on the Star Trek movie is they have antimatter, and antimatter will when it touches regular matter, will disintegrate into pure energy. So if they have a device like that, the Starship Enterprise could be powered by something no bigger than that glass of water there. Okay, he makes an interesting statement about how one kingdom nourishes the other kingdoms. The lower nourishes the higher. He says this: the essential qualities of minerals and chemicals of the earth are an instant in point. They are needed by other forms of life and are donated to man through the medium of the vegetable kingdom and through water which he drinks, and thus even in the first and densest kingdom in nature, whose consciousness is so far removed from us, does this process of giving hold. So he talks about how these lower kingdoms feed the higher kingdoms. It says the mineral kingdom has a problem slightly at variance with those of the other kingdoms, for it is specifically an expression of the lives that were classified as failures in a previous solar system, which were doomed to be immersed themselves in the forms of the mineral kingdom. So you had people that were total failures that probably committed what we call today the unpardonable sin in the previous solar system that are now incarnated into the mineral kingdom.
They turned to granite.
Yeah, and it's going to take them a long time to get out of it. So they wouldn't just incarnate into a rock, but I'd say a large piece of the earth. So you would have a lot of these failures incarnate into all the minerals that make up the entire planet. So they have to eventually work their way out of it. It's an interesting statement there by him. Okay. It's useful to remember, he says, that in the three lower kingdoms, manifestation or appearance on the physical plane is ever a group manifestation and not the appearance of separate units. Each group soul, as it is called, is divided into seven parts, which appear in each of the seven races of a world period. And there is an interesting distinction between them and the units of the human kingdom. When portions of the group soul of the seven parts are out of incarnation, they are found on the astral plane, even though Mother Earth's soul is found on the mental plane. We talked about that earlier. But they incarnate through group souls rather than individuals. So these lost souls, so to speak, of a previous solar system combined and created a group soul and incarnated into the physical matter of the Earth. He says that they are still giving. They're in a situation where they are forced to give by giving to the vegetable kingdom. The kingdom, that kingdom takes from them and nourishes them. And then the animal kingdom takes from the vegetable kingdom and is nourished by them. The animal kingdom, likewise, he says, is an expression of the life of a being who is part of the body of the Logos, or the planetary Logos, and not a center of conscious energy. These lords of the third kingdom, the animal, they are seven entities whose bodies are made up of animal souls, just as the heavenly men embody for man the Buddhic principle. So these lords embody for the animal kingdom the mind principle, which is the part, which is the goal of the evolutionary process. So we have the mineral kingdom. All these lower kingdoms are occupied by group souls, and there's the mineral is souls that were failures in a previous system. That now there are some failures in a previous system that came back as human beings here and to learn a lesson. But these entities in particular that occupied the mineral kingdom must have been the real bad guys. So the mineral gives sustenance to the vegetables to the animals, and then the animals to the human. Animals to the human, he says, is a little bit different in the fact that our bodies are very similar to the animal bodies, whereas the that which composes an animal is quite a bit different from the vegetable or the mineral, whereas our bodies are composed of a similar substance. So he says it's best that we get our nourishment from the vegetables rather than the animals. The vegetarians are on the right track there. He doesn't really condemn people that eat meat. He points out that it's wrong to be fanatical about it, and there are also benefits from it. In the long run, we will turn toward being vegetarians.